new media, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to unite and assist fellow loners and dreamers, to advise and amuse mankind. On behalf of the Not Sam Network, to boldly go where no broadcast, no Not Samsonite, has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Featuring one celebrity husband's midlife crisis, a reformed party girl's quarterlife crisis, and millennials in Star Trek costumes. Sitting in the captain's chair, the first officer of your tomorrow, Roxy Stryer.
Tonight, I am going to prove to you guys just how reformed of a party girl I am. Also, to call myself out to all of you iTunes listeners and the people who couldn't just see me, aka anybody who's not aboard the ship right now, I was thinking, okay, just one last boost of caffeine before the show. Just chug a little bit so you got that energy. And I am soaking wet right now. I just could not have dropped more tea into my lap, and none of you guys saw or even flinched.
What?
Like, I missed the whole mouth. It just went pouring down. Happened to me on the bachelorette party I was at this weekend as well, in a little bit of a funnier way, but I'll tell you guys that in a little bit, because before I get to that, I am Roxy Stryer, filling in for Kevin Undergaro. Our captain is on a possibly secret mission. I told you guys I never know if it's secret or not. He's back east doing big things. He's there for a little bit. Obviously, you guys know he's helping people in one way, shape, or form. He will be back the week after next, though. I swear he misses you all. And knowing him, he'll probably join us in the chat at some point today. But for the first time ever, I am so excited to introduce the co-host of the Tomorrow Show for tonight, Steph Sabra, out here.
Yes, baby.
We let you out of the booth?
Out of the booth. I'm free. Free at last.
Out of the cage.
It feels so good. First time co-hosting with you ever, actually.
Wow, crazy.
Yeah.
I like that you just spread your arms.
I know,
like something you can't do in the booth.
You can't do it, you guys.
You can't
it's
reach
the
both
coolest
ways.
Booth, but you cannot stretch your arms.
We're going to just look at Steph throughout the show. She's going to be in like weird positions.
Too.
Doing her superstar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What is it? What does she say when I get sometimes when I get nervous?
I like to.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah. I'm sure that was a great sound for everybody on iTunes. Going over to the booth, though, the people who cannot release their arms both left and right at the same time. Takira Wireless in the booth. Hi, Takira.
Hey, hey, hey. In the booth again, baby.
Yeah, rocking it in there. Well, you are a tech genius. You are a tech whiz, as you are Miss Wireless.
It's my world.
Yeah, and I'm liking the blue on you tonight.
Thank you.
You go back and forth, but it looks really good.
Thank you.
And Michael Klaus, he is now officially 30. Last week, it was his 30th. Today, he's now just 30 in a week, which is nothing special. Michael, you feeling old yet?
I am feeling old because I have tendonitis in my elbow and tricep, and that just seems like one of those things you get with age.
What happened? Did you go for like a checkup because you're 30, and then they told you you're
the other day? It just started hurting, and
oh, so you self-diagnosed?
Self-diagnosed it with the help of a nurse friend,
WebMD,
and WebMD, a little bit of that, a little bit of the Google. You know, it's not as serious as Kevin Durant's injury, which we'll talk about in the news, but I think I'm around the same age as Kevin Durant. We both probably accomplished the same amount of things in life, both dealing with injuries.
He is exactly 30, so you are the same age. Speaking of having a nurse friend, though, I will tell you guys briefly before I get into the whole bachelorette shenanigans, because I was at a bachelorette party this week. I have a very close nurse friend who was at this bachelorette party with us, and there was at one point, this is a real thing, during the bachelorette party, we all got breast exams from her.
No way.
Swear to God, because she was like, you guys, she said, when is the last time you guys all went in for your exams? You need to make sure. And we were all talking about it. And then everybody was like, wait, can you just do it now? And like every single girl, there must have been, so there were 16 girls on this batch were like laying there topless as she was doing the breast exam. She's like, yep, you're good. Okay, yep, you're good. Yep. Ooh, what's that? No, we're good. We're good. Like it was and we were hammered.
That's actually real life squad goals.
Oh, 100%. It was so beneficial because I have for for a little bit of TMI, I have very cystic breast tissue.
Oh, wow.
So, Michael nodding.
Michael's
okay.
Like, uh-huh, mm-hmm, uh-huh.
Cystic
yeah.
breast
me too,
tissue.
Me too, yep.
Oh, Michael, Michael can relate. Yeah, he's got that cystic tissue. And for anybody who doesn't know, cystic breast tissue, there are different kinds of breast tissue. So, like, how it feels. Have you ever been making out with a chick and you feel her boobs, and sometimes they're harder than others, sometimes they're softer. Like, you can feel the difference. There's different kinds of breast tissue. Mine is cystic breast tissue. Wow. And so I is having a really hard time telling on my own breasts, because you can do the exam yourself.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time knowing what is cystic tissue versus what is
Maybe. Yeah.
Michael so, is really confused here in the booth. He is checking his own breasts, I have to say.
How are they looking, Michael?
You know, they're a little firm. And so I don't know if that's good or bad. I've been hitting the weights recently. Takira, how are yours?
They feel pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay, fantastic. Good to go. Back to the story.
Yeah. Well, that was that part of the story. We will get more into my bachelorette blues and the fun things that happened there, too. But we also have a ridiculous news week this week.
Yes.
It just kept coming and coming. And I feel like I must have texted Michael 50 times. Add this to the news. Add this to the news. We got to talk about this because Justin Bieber is doing crazy-ish right now,
yeah.
Challenging Tom Cruise and kind of taking that back. I know Michael will talk to us about that later. This Max Landis situation, which is something I've known about for quite some time, but I have a little insider information there, so I would definitely want to get to that. Jon Stewart, I think something we all watched and were incredibly touched by. I mean, I don't know how you could have watched that and not been crying or not been moved by mm-hmm. his speech, so I definitely want to go over Jon Stewart. And then something that we all desperately need that I'm here to campaign for, straight pride, because, you know, this is what the world needs
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, Steph. You,
of course.
Straight pride. Where is straight pride? I am from Boston, so apparently
it's
I have to appreciate
I've
this.
I've been wondering since I was born.
In the womb, actually.
Uh-huh.
I was in the womb, and I bubbled up to my mom and said, straight pride. What is that? What does bubbled up even mean? I don't know.
This is the best kind of news week, though, because it's not all depressing.
No, it's things that I cannot wait to poke fun at for
yeah.
some of them. And there is some real stuff in there for sure, but you're definitely going to want to stay for all of that wild news, because I've got thoughts, and I know Steph does too. And I think the booth does as well, considering their breast tissue is fine.
Yep.
They're ready to give their thoughts. So let's get back to Bachelorette Party, because I had a wild weekend. For anybody who's been a fan of this show for the last couple of years, you know that this is my sixth Bachelorette Party in 2 years, possibly seventh. I am a Bachelorette Party queen. I have gone to so many of them, and it's all, or at least mostly all except for one, people that are back from home, because everybody from back home is married.
Do you think it's an East Coast thing?
I think it's an epidemic. I think it's a East Coast thing, but I also think it's a group of friends thing. Like, when one person gets married, it kind of sparks something in all of their best friends' boyfriends. Like, oh, maybe it's time to pop the question, or maybe I should think about this. Whatever it is, though, my best friends from high school are all married, and my friends that live in Los Angeles are all not. It's just not
yeah.
the way that it works.
Can't relate.
Cannot relate. But they also can't relate to me. And it could not have been more apparent than at this bachelorette party. Because, I am in a group of four from home. We call ourselves OOF, which stands for Our Only Friends, OOF. That's just what I don't know if you guys did that in high school. Did you guys have, like, high school
yeah,
group names?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. 11 of 11.
Okay, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Guys in the booth, high school group names. No.
No go on that.
Scam Kira?
We had the baby fatty girls.
Okay.
The baby fatty girls.
You know, like back in the day when baby fat was really hip, Kimora Lee Simmons and all that.
Were you one of them? You were a baby fatty girl?
Yes, I was baby fatty girl 32. Everybody got their favorite number.
Wait, there were 32 of them? Oh, no.
No, it's just like your favorite number. There was like seven or eight of us. Yeah.
It's baby making a return. Girl.
What, the group names? Fat. Oh, Baby Fat.
Baby Fat.
More importantly.
Wow. I got to look into this. Yeah. But we were called Oof, and two of them got married last year, and one of them is engaged now, and that's whose bachelorette we were at. So the four of us have been a squad for a really long time. There was zero way that I was missing this bachelorette party if I could do anything about it. And it was an actual nightmare to get to. This bachelorette party was in Nantucket. So for anybody who does not know, I live in Los Angeles. Nantucket is impossible to get to without taking two modes of transportation, at least. You either have to boat and then fly and then boat, fly and car. Like you cannot get from LA to Nantucket without multiple different things.
And do they live there, or was this by choice?
So they live, this was the thought process. They live in Boston, and her friends live in Boston and New York. And from both places, it's easy to get to. So from Boston, you drive to the ferry, and then you take the $35 ferry to Nantucket.
Okay.
From Los Angeles, it took 13 hours to get there.
No way.
Two different flights in a car. So, and a lot more than $35.
Oh, gross.
And a lot more than $35. But that's not their fault that I moved out here.
Yeah.
They all still live back there. It's just me out here. So, you know, she was trying to be helpful because her wedding is a destination wedding. Her wedding is in Florida. So they're all going to be traveling for that. So she didn't want to do her bachelorette somewhere far for them. Unfortunately for me, Nantucket is the hardest place to get to. It's easier for me to get to Spain than it is Nantucket.
Oh, God. You could have been in Spain in 13 hours.
Yeah. No, it's seriously easier. And I could take a direct flight, I believe, to Madrid or something, or at least to London and then there or something. But this was like trying to go across the world. It was really, really challenging to get to. So I was kind of bitter about that. But I had to remind myself, they're not doing this to me. And you're doing it, so try to have fun. But between the amount of money that I was spending, the amount of time I was going to be gone for, and the fact that I work freelance, so when I don't work, I don't get paid, as opposed to all of them who are on salary jobs, so they make the same amount of money, it's almost like I'm spending twice as much money.
Totally.
Because now I'm missing work, and I'm paying to be there. So I was already stressed when I was going, but I had a pep talk with myself. Like, you know when you sit yourself down and you're legitimately like, all right, Rox, you're doing this. So because you're doing this, just shut up and do the best you can to enjoy it. And it's not going to make it better to be a miserable bitch. So just be there and have the best time. So that lasted for a little bit because I went in with that mindset, but it's really hard to keep. These girls are amazing, but they're 16 people and a lot of them are her camp friends.
Wow.
Now, I went to camp when I was younger, and I was in a sorority when I was older. Both things I left because it's not for me. It's not my scene. I'm not really a jump up and down, hair flippy, sing song kind of girl. I was a theater girl. I liked competition and performing and not this whole spirit. Yeah, yeah, rah, rah, we got spirit. Yes, we do. Like that legitimately. So everybody else there was like this. And so they were doing things like we had a legit color war. I know you guys pulled up that Instagram picture for anybody who's on YouTube where we had people in purple shirts and pink shirts and we competed against each other. Like every minute of the day was set up and organized so that my life was, I was told what to do at every minute. So like from this hour to this hour, we're competing in color war where you have to throw a ball at a flagpole and you have to hit the flagpole 3 times and then you have to spin in a circle and then you have to put a pie in your face and then you have to make the flip cup, drink it, and then you got to shoot the beer pong cup and then you've got to answer 3 questions right about the bride and then you got, like, it was legit Olympics of drinking and bachelorette.
Wow.
And they're screaming and chanting and yelling. And I'm being kind of annoying. Like, I can sense myself being kind of irritable. I'm kind of sober. I'm thinking about work.
Were you just not, like, filling What was annoying you the most? I mean, obviously the 16 girls, like you said.
I think if you're this kind of person, you're not annoyed. But if you're listening to the story and it sounds like hell, then me. You know, like that's okay. You know, if you're hearing this and you're like, wow, that sounds like hell.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. But if you're
I know that feeling.
If you're listening to this and you're like, that sounds like so much fun, then that's the kind of person you are. But for me, all I was thinking was like, I don't know, let's like make something. Let's create something or like let's
make a music video.
Yeah, let's make a music video or like why don't we like storyboard something or write something about this or even just lay on a beach somewhere. But all these structured things were frustrating. And then I took myself out of the games for a second and I put myself in my bedroom and I said out loud, "Wait, you're the problem." You're the problem, Rox. It's not all of them. They're all having a blast. You're the outlier. You're the problem. So just fake it. Like, you're an actress. Just go there and just have a blast and get drunk. And, like, you're here. You can't, you're on an island. You have no service. You can't do anything. Just go fake it. So I did, and I had a way better rest of the trip.
It actually is crazy how that works. That was my life every day of college.
Really?
Because I had the worst coaches on my – I played field hockey in college, and every day I'd have to put a pen in my mouth like this, so I'd smile.
Wait, what? They would make you do that?
No, it's like a – it's an actual experiment that they did, and I learned if you put a pen in your mouth, like in between your teeth, and you bite down on it, you have to smile. And then it made me it instantly makes you happier.
And for 10 minutes, you would do that?
No, like 2 minutes. But I would pep talk myself like, you can do this.
You can do this.
This is fun.
But what's so crazy is like, why? Because I'm a 27, almost 28-year-old woman. Why do I have to do that? But because sometimes in life you have to be a good friend, and these are what I will say for anybody who's listening, being like, why did she go? This sounds crazy. These are the girls that were with me by my side when my mom passed away, that were bringing us meals every single day, that like when everything went down last year with Ben and my boyfriend of 4 years and I broke up, they were the ones who were sending me packages and texting with Kevin to make sure that I was okay and making sure that like I had all the nutrients that I needed and that they didn't need to come out here. These are my ride or die since I was 10. So that's why.
Yeah.
But it's changed so much, and it was just so apparent that they're all married or engaged, and I am not, and they're all getting ready to try for pregnancy, and I am not, and they're all living in homes that they own or figuring out ways to buy bigger homes, and I am super not, probably the furthest out for that one. So it's weird, because even though these are my lifers, and I would do anything for them as they have for me, we just don't have that much in common anymore.
Yeah.
And that's always like...
It's a weird feeling. That's how it is with all of my high school friends.
Really?
Yeah. One of them, we've been best friends since sixth grade, and we still try to talk like once a month at least. But when we hang out, if it's her and I, we're fine. If we're with her friends, I feel like a space cadet. Like I don't belong.
That was the thing. When I'm just with the three of them and it's the four of us, I'm fine. And I'm so interested in their lives and I want to. But because there were so many people that were her friends that I didn't know, I just felt so lost and like not, I felt like it was weird that I was there, which is bizarre because why would I feel that way? She invited me. That's why I'm there. But anything they were talking about, I was just thinking, what? I can't relate to that feeling at all. Like, I don't know. They were talking about how hard it is to figure out what your ring setting is and if you want the diamond to be raised or not raised. But they weren't bitching about it. That's just what they're dealing with, you know? They weren't complaining. They were just saying, oh my God, let me see yours. Oh God, that is so gorgeous. I went for hours. I couldn't figure out raised, not raised, raised, not raised. And also, wow, that's the princess cut. I went with a cushion. Now I don't know. But that was like an hour and a half conversation that went on. And I was sitting there and I was like, I don't even know what princess is for cushion. I don't know what that means.
This is why
I'm married and I'm like already, I'd be exhausted over that conversation in like 2 minutes. And I'm married.
Takira, are most of your friends married?
No, actually, they're not. I was one of the first to get married. So I was that person that whenever girls would feel like they're about to get married, or the guys would be thinking about proposing, they would either come to Sydney, my husband, or they'd come to me like, how did you know? What do you do? How do, like, what do you feel it? How do you know it's permanent? What do you do if you can't live with that thing that they do for the rest of your life? So I'm like the person. I think like we're the cool young married couple. Like, we still go to clubs and we still dance like we're single with each other. But they're all like, okay, how do you know?
Yeah, I mean, my girlfriends are kind of like that too, where they're still going to bars. They're still super fun. They were getting loaded. I mean, there was drugs and alcohol going around for sure. But it's different. It's different. And like, I just don't know what to talk about or what to say. So I do a lot of question asking. And at the end of the weekend, my best friend who was there, Dee, she turned to me and she said, oh my God, how are you doing with the breakup? I literally haven't asked you once. And I was like, that's so crazy, because I didn't bring it up because I don't know what to, they're all married.
Yeah.
So it's like, how am I with the breakup? Fine. Like, I don't even know how to answer that. I don't even know what to, she was like, well, yeah, of course, pretty black and white, you know, like, when you break up with somebody, just, you're fine, move on, sack up, which is kind of how Boston handles things. But it's like, just a very strange position to be in when you don't know what to talk about with your best friends.
What's so funny, Roxy, is like, while you're having these thoughts of, oh my gosh, everyone's married, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're so fun, it's so easy for them to look at you and think, wow, she's young, she's killing it, she's in the profession that she likes, like, to have that moment again. So whenever you get into that thought, I guarantee you they're looking at you like, wow, she can literally do whatever the hell she wants to, and she's killing it.
Well, so. Honestly, two things on that, Takira, that's really sweet, but two things. Number one, they are not thinking that at all, because they would like to have be moms and not work and be wives. Like, that is, and that's awesome. But they don't look at, they are all so happy, I can't even possibly explain it to you. Like, these girls are they love their lives. They're very rich. They are with the best husbands. They're living in beautiful homes. They're working jobs until they decide that they don't want them anymore, and then they're going to get pregnant. They do not in any way, shape, or form want my life. Never have. Zero interest. So happy with their lives. They want to live the exact same life we lived growing up. They want to live in either between the three of them, they want to live in the city we grew up in the two touching cities. They want to raise all their kids together. They're planning their pregnancies together to make sure that the kids are the same age. So
my heart rate is like really accelerating. Right,
but that's awesome. Like, when you know what you want, then you should go get that. But so that's the first part. But the second part is, by no means am I saying in any way that I am looking at them and I feel jealous.
No.
I would be miserable living their lives.
Me too.
Not because they're not great, but because it's not what I want. And there's a reason I picked up and moved 3,000 miles away from home. And that reason is to make it. So anytime I'm upset out here, this is what Kevin Undergaro always says to me, why'd you come here? To make it, right? So anything else that's happening in my life that doesn't have to do with that can't really upset me too much, theoretically, because I came here to make it.
Yeah.
That was the goal.
So, it is a good lesson.
Yeah, it is a great one of his.
Yeah. That, and also just every time that you feel like you're out of place, you have to think about, would that even make me happy?
Right.
Because most of the times it wouldn't. So you're just being like a sourpuss for nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the other thing, which I don't know if you guys ever feel, but alcohol really has an effect on me now. And if I'm drinking for 3 days straight, like I was, where you're drinking for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a depressant. Mm-hmm. And when I get out of that situation, you know, I flew back. I landed Sunday at midnight and I had work on Monday at 6 a.m. And so that's like a pretty quick turnaround, especially after traveling for 13 hours.
Yeah.
So I felt just out of it, like weird and couldn't identify. And then you have to admit to yourself like, oh, Rox, you feel like shit because you've been eating like shit and drinking a ton and treating your body like hell. You haven't been working out. You're off your routine. Like, you did this to yourself, which is fine. We all go on benders sometime, but like, shape up, because this is a you problem. You don't feel like crap because something's really wrong.
We always, all of us drink wine out of a bottle like that. It's just really...
So for any of our iTunes listeners right now, if you go over to either our Not Sam Network's YouTube or if you look on my Instagram at Roxy Stryer, this is when I was at the Schmodown and I was drinking. You guys know I'm a germaphobe. So before they were all drinking out of the bottle of wine, I poured some wine into a water bottle for myself.
Got to stay hydrated.
Got to stay hydrated.
It's the perfect mix of classy and trashy.
No, thank you, babe. Another reason I was having a hard time communicating with these women on the trip were because... Straight up, it felt like they were speaking an actual different language at times. Like they were using words that I don't know. So, okay, let me know if you guys know any of these words. They'd be like, all right, are we going out tonight? Full send, full send.
Wait, what?
Do you know what that is?
No.
Yeah, it means we're totally going. Yeah, all the way.
So I had no idea.
Michael, are you bullshitting?
No, that's exactly what it means.
I know, but I can't tell if he's using his Michael powers to bullshit this away.
Oh, right. Full send.
Full send.
All
apparently,
right,
this is a thing that's been happening for a while. So a bet was another one that they were using over and over again. But full send was like on repeat. Like, oh, you want to go do this? Full send. I could not keep up. The other one that they constantly were saying, which I adore and I want to bring to us, retweet. So somebody says something that you love, retweet.
Yeah.
Which I feel like you've said a lot, though.
Yeah.
Steph always says retweet.
I love that.
Me too.
Why don't I say it?
I don't know. You of all people should.
I need that.
Your Twitter is on fire.
But it's anytime somebody says something outrageous, and I love that, I just need to start saying retweet. I don't think Captain Kev's going to like it, though.
I think he would love it.
Really?
Yeah, he'd be like, retweet, bitches.
That's awesome.
He'd retweet everything all day.
I'm trying to think that there were some other crazy terms that I'll try to remember and I'll tell you guys about. But other than that, the bachelorette party was a wasted weekend of debaucherous activities. There was a bizarre moment where I ran into another girl from high school who was on another bachelorette party who decided to leave the bachelorette party she was on to come with us on our bachelorette party. Is that not bizarre?
Wait, a random girl?
She went to high school with us.
Oh.
But didn't know the bride well. And she was like, okay, peace to the bachelorette party I'm on. I'm going to come with you guys because we were going somewhere more fun. So weird. No?
Yeah, really weird, but not surprising. This whole
scene
of women, though, they're all good people. I'm sure a lot of them are. But they will do anything for... whatever's the best dick that they can get in a room.
Ooh, hello.
V true.
And no hating towards that. Get it in.
Full send.
That was another part.
Retweet.
That was another part that was really bizarre is that this bachelorette party being in Nantucket, I was so judgy because have you guys ever been in Nantucket?
Nantucket
nectar
enough to
know what it is.
What the hell is this?
Michael, have you ever been?
Oh, I mean, I used to summer there all the time.
Okay, well, you've been to 50 states, man, so it's not that crazy of a question.
It's very true. No, I have not been to Nantucket.
So Nantucket is exactly what you would picture with people with polos and khakis with outrageous amounts of money. I mean, the house that we were staying in was a $6.7 million home. That was the house that we were staying in. $6.7 million.
What?
So this Nantucket is a ridiculously wealthy island where every house has to have the same aesthetic. So they all look the exact same, just different sizes. It's very quaint. I got a lobster roll. It was $56 for
Shut
a lobster
up.
Roll. It's a...
When the water's right there, like you didn't fucking export this.
Yeah. But when your group paying for everything and everybody else is getting it and you have to split the bill at the end... quick tip, always get something more expensive because if you have to group split anyway, what are you going to do? Get a little side salad? You're going to have to end up paying for somebody else's role. So I was really judgy going into it of the guys and of the whole situation there. But it was actually, people were actually really generous and nice. And one of the guys there claimed to be Eli Manning's brother, which was not true.
Not Peyton.
No,
right? The other
obviously
one?
Not Peyton. Yeah, but he's not the other one because I looked him up and I believe
it's
the other
so
one may or may not be in a wheelchair and this guy was not. So clearly was not.
Interesting.
This guy, but he did claim to be, and he was like swiping his card left and right, like, trust me, my brother's got this. And now I'm just like, who were you? He also made out with one of my friends. So,
oh, nice.
There was a lot of sucking face on the dance floor.
Wait,
a lot of
sucking face. That including from the married people?
Huh?
Is that including from the married people?
Is
or
what including from the
married? Sucking face, or was
you
there
mean, were
anything?
Were they cheating on their husbands? No.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh my God. I mean, no, Bachelorette, never.
I don't know if that's a.
No.
He's like a hall pass.
I swear on a previous Tomorrow show, you said that there were people who were in relationships who were doing various things.
At when we had strippers that came to the house.
Oh, that's where that's the line.
Well, no,
that's
but they were line. Not. They were not. Okay. They were not married, and they had significant others, and they had strippers like taking whipped cream off them and stuff, but not. No, nobody.
Michael
none of my
Klaus.
Friends. And that was that's like, my college group of friends. My high school friends are the best human beings ever, and super duper loyal. I mean, there was some bumping and grinding, like fun dancing, and we got on the stage at the. There's one like big bar there that everybody goes to. That's the thing. On the island, there is one massive bar, and everybody on the island goes. So it's a blast. Bill Belichick was there at the same time we were there because he was at a wedding.
Wow.
It sounds like a mix of like it's Gossip like a fake Girl place. And Big Little Lies.
It feels like a fake place. It was it's crazy. It's a crazy town. I can't wait for the wedding, though, because weddings I do love. There's a difference about just dancing and getting hammered for one night than having to do a whole bachelorette party.
I have not been invited to one. Like, none of my friends are getting married.
I have a plus one to this wedding. You want to come?
Wow.
It's in Florida.
I've never been to Florida. I feel
You've
like...
You've never been to Florida?
Would I be... Yeah.
That was the most country I think I've ever heard you,
Me?
Roxy, say. He was like, you've never been to Florida?
You have been to Florida?
Listen, I'm kind of scared of Florida.
Why? I get that because every news story starts with Florida man.
Oh, yeah, true.
And then something like insane
Not
in the
today.
Membrane. Michael, you speaking of parties, you're having your big birthday party this weekend, yeah?
Woo-woo!
Yes, ma'am.
If I
bring drugs, will you use them?
What do you mean by drugs, I guess, would be the question.
Also,
Can that be my album
if
title?
If I bring drugs, will you use them? I also found out that Michael's family was listening to the show last week and was not too pleased with us.
Not happy.
Nah.
Well, not us. It's not you guys. You guys didn't do anything wrong.
I don't think they see me in the best light after last week. I don't know if they'd love me asking if I bring drugs, if you would use them. Like, even pot. If I bring pot.
Like smoking or edibles or...
Well, your choice.
Nah. For all intents
and
purposes, I'm going to be on my best behavior at all times.
Oh, my God.
He has to look directly into the camera for that. You noticed that, right?
Yeah.
That was like Get Out Christian Wisconsin edition.
As a tear rolls down. Michael, what is the most amount of drinks you've had in one sitting?
Probably... 4 or 5?
Will you have 6?
I could do 6.
I want to get Michael so fucked up.
Chocolate
I don't know
wasted.
Why. Don't you guys feel like that would be the best?
I will. Obviously, if he's down, I'll make sure that his like chastity belt is still on. And I'll do that for you for the turnout.
Thank you. Thank you.
Michael could be getting his stomach pumped drunk and he would still keep his virginity.
Yeah, 100%.
That's in his soul. You don't just like get drunk and lose your virginity because you're drunk if you're Michael. He's waited 100%. Long enough. I think that, all right, I've got big plans. Girls, we got to talk about what we're going to do to Michael 100%. For his birthday party. Takir, are you going? Because you're making a face like you're not.
No, I am. I told him before the show I already have a little something that I'm bringing and... We've been talking about it, so yeah, turn up.
Is it acid?
No. I've never done
Is it
acid?
Acid? That's question one.
That's exactly if what I
wait
think
you hear,
would bring.
Wait till
Great
you hear
question.
How innocent what she is actually bringing. She tried to build it up like
no.
It could have been something mysterious.
It's a leather-bound Bible.
Tell him.
Is it ecstasy?
Okay, if I say this, it's going to be like the most lame Christian thing to
it's
say
not,
now.
It's awesome.
Okay, I'm bringing...
A cross.
Kids
Bob
Christian Jam.
Kids Bob! Yes.
I'm bringing extra large Reese cups because he was raving about how he was like, have you ever had a s'more with a Reese cup? Freaking mind blown!
It's
Wait,
so good.
But why
good.
Did you phrase it like that, Takira?
Wait,
like I'm
my
bringing
soul
something.
Just dropped out of my butthole. Like, I can't believe that one.
Fell right through. You said it like you were bringing something scandalous.
I know.
It's the
even if it was like I'm bringing whipped cream or like I'm bringing, you know, handcuffs or something.
You know, I'm just, it's nice to leave a little wonder out there, but thanks to Michael Klaus. He just has to, you know, ruin.
Hey, but anyone in the chat, let us know if you ever had s'mores with peanut butter cups. Have you guys ever had them? Because they are next level.
No, but that sounds amazing. But going back to handcuffs for a second, what I did forget to tell you guys before we go to the news, what I did forget to tell you is that one of the nights when we got, like, what is the saying? Two sheets to the wind? Four sheets to the wind?
That's a
ten
new one.
I think it's two sheets to the wind.
Two sheets to the wind. When we got loaded. Like the bride to be was blackout city, ended up booting later on. She gave us the most epic strip dance. It was an hour
amazing.
Long. It was so fun. This weekend, unlike
that's
my,
what we would want.
Yes, it was like the best part because unlike my college girlfriends where we had tons of strippers and gigolos and stuff, with my high school girls, it's more about girl stuff, like the camp scene and all of that. So this was my favorite part because we kept changing the song and she only had one outfit, so she just kept taking it off. And then in between songs, she'd put it back on. And she would keep
legend.
Taking
what?
It off.
Legend.
Because there's not enough clothes. She was wearing
you work
sweatpants.
With what you got. Yeah.
But she was
Shut
doing
up.
The funniest stuff and was like baller at it. I was really impressed and proud.
Hell yeah.
Were there any dance moves that you were completely like, because that's where I'm most impressed are like the actual moves, not the amount of clothing that you take
she's
off.
She's crazy
but.
Flexible. So there was like a bedpost situation where I don't know how she got her leg up where she could get her leg. So
nice.
I don't know if that's a dance move as much as a good for her future hubby.
Hey, that's impressive.
And
he was really cute, by the way. He sent us all different booze and a seafood tower of food and just like kept
okay,
sending
us gifts. Who
the
fuck gifts. Are these people?
I know.
Pause.
Wait, we just went out drinking with him. The guy, my favorite guy that was with us that got us dinner as well.
Wow.
That's who it is. He's the sweetest. They've been together for 10 years. And you want to know something interesting
yeah,
about them?
He is a nice person.
The best. But interesting story about them. They got together when we were kids when he was dating our other friend.
Ugh.
And we were 17 and the girl that he was dating left for college and these two girls were best friends and he ended up
Ooh.
Leaving the girl he was with for his now going to be future wife. And the two girls, I've never heard a story like this where it worked out.
Yeah.
Ever. They've been together I think it's why they were together a decade before they got engaged.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, let's make sure.
You lose him how you get him
but
usually.
It was one of those, she turned to all of us and was like, what do I do? I'm in love with one of my best friend's boyfriends. And we were all like, don't do this. And she was like, I can't not. I know he's the one.
No way.
Yeah.
And at 18.
We were at 17.
Michael Klaus is saying
almost 18. She just knew. And it was, we were all like, uh-oh, there's a 99.999% chance that this does not work out. You're going to lose a friendship that you don't. And she did lose the friend who is now still one of my close friends who lives in LA and now lives with her girlfriend.
No way.
Yeah.
So
happy ending for everybody.
Yeah, it is a happy ending. They should be friends again.
Yeah, I kind of think so too. But it was still such a betrayal at the time that I don't. And the thing about my friend from home that is now getting married is that she is the best person. This is so out of left field for her. Like
yeah.
She would never do something like this, but she did. She just knew in her gut. She was like, "This is not a fling. This is I'm in love." And he's in love with me too. And this sucks, but we have to do this. And we all thought she was effing crazy.
Damn, Gina.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
When you know, but I think sometimes when you're in those situations, you can't know.
No, you can't
because
know.
You're like so infatuated with what you can't have that you're like, let's fucking do it.
And clouded.
Like you're an animal. Yeah.
You're so, and now this is the only man she's ever been with. It was the
no
first
way.
Only guy she's ever been with.
The
and there's
fantasy
still like,
of it all for some people is the fantasy of it all is the most attract like that's the most attractive part.
But for her, yeah, for some people, but not for her.
Yeah, it's mostly clearly
they are obsessed with each other. Like they started dating yesterday.
No way.
Aww.
They are literally two of the most in love people I have ever seen. They are head over heels obsessed with each other. 10 years later, it's literally been a decade. Crazy.
But cheers to you guys. I really liked him. I usually don't like a lot of guys.
He's the nicest. And it's so unlike him, too. That's the thing. I'm not giving advice to anybody at home who's thinking of going for it, because I still think, don't cheat on people. It's not nice. And don't
break up first.
Like, break up and don't leave your significant other for their best friend. It's just not a nice thing to do. But if you're gonna, then marry that person. And that's my words of wisdom for the day before we get to...
Oh, real quick, over under three, how many pillow fights did you girls have?
We had no pillow fights, but we did have a whipped cream fight.
Oh, okay. I like the whipped cream a little bit better.
And I got murdered.
So how?
I was covered in sticky stuff.
How does this start? I know we have to move on to news because it's really interesting tonight, but... Who do you like pull out the whipped cream cans, like draw? How does it start?
So it was part of Color War, where one of the activities where you have to find the Starburst in the tray of whipped cream. So you have to, with only your face, so your hands are behind your back, and you've got to dig for a Starburst in a tray of whipped cream. And so then once you get it, you have to spit it out to show that you got it. And then when the girl spit it out, it went all over me, and then I was covered in whipped cream, and then everybody started, like a food fight, you know, when one person gets hit, and then everybody starts doing it.
I know our people in our live chat, like, heard whipped cream fight, and it's just, it got really real.
My friends are really hot, so just picture that.
Of course.
Really hot. I have very good-looking girlfriends.
They are pretty. I saw you were taking some good photos.
Grammy called me and said, wow, it's very lucky your friends got better looking.
The shade.
I go, what? She goes, I just don't remember them being this beautiful.
Wow, Grammy.
I was like, okay, wonder what you say about me behind my back. Takira, sorry, I cut you off. What's going on in the chat?
No, I just wanted to give a couple of shout outs. Of course, we have people in the chat. They're wondering where Captain Kev is.
Because, I told you, super secret mission.
Super secret mission for those that are kind of tuning in a little late. But Matthew Gold, don't have any super chats, but do just call out Star Drew. Matthew Gold, After Buzz TV, the sister network, is in the chat.
Yeah, baby.
Says Roxy album cover coming.
Ooh, it's, what do you think, like, it's going to be?
Ooh, I don't know. But we've talked about a lot of juicy
stuff. It's going to be some sort of marriage joke.
No, I'm calling, like, girls trip, whipped cream all over the place. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm thinking, like, forever bridesmaid.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Honestly, it's getting expensive. It'd be cheaper to have my own wedding at this
point.
It
is.
Oh, it's crazy. Crazy.
We do have the notable album cover. Are we ready to see it? Because, I mean...
Yeah, what's going on?
This is pretty intense.
Guys, switch over to Not Sam Network's YouTube.
Oh, yeah, if you're on iTunes.
Roxy, if I bring drugs, will you do that? I mean, guys... It's a fair question, because I don't want to go get drugs if nobody's going to do them.
Oh, my God.
Just to be
clear. With the splatter? Wow.
Also, lamest thing I'll ever say, don't hold me to this, but I'm not like a big fan of drugs anymore.
What?
I like out-drugged myself.
All drugs or just the hard ones?
I love weed. You guys know. I'm a big cannabis supporter.
Okay, that's where I was. Whew.
I don't think that I'll ever do ecstasy again.
Did you do it this past weekend?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't done it in years.
Okay.
In years. When I was in college, we did it so often. Like you're going to the bar this weekend. Okay, let's take some drugs.
No way.
Yeah, retreat. Yeah. Very casual.
What does that send?
Full send.
So is
hurts
ecstasy
my brain to think about.
Molly now?
So Molly is pure MDMA, and ecstasy is in a pill form that is usually cut with something else, which is why Molly is better, because when you're taking ecstasy, you don't really know what you're getting. It can make you like really racy because it's more like speed, or it can have different things cut inside. So
that question was for a friend, for Klaus.
Yeah, I poked her and I was asking questions and I didn't have the guts to ask, so she asked for me.
I did when I was younger. You guys know I'm not proud of who I used to be sometimes, but I did drug everybody's drink at one point. All my friends, we were together at a house party, not with ecstasy, with Zanzibars, with Xanax. And they were all people who had done it before. So they all like were down for the cause and had the best time. But I was just picturing like how effed up is that?
You're like the Zach Galifianakis.
It was like that
talk tonight, but of Hangover.
Wait, yeah. Only like, adolescent Rocks would do that.
I was like 17.
It's so fucked up, but at least you knew it was people who have done it before.
Yeah, that's true. And they all thought it was amazing and hilarious, but that's messed up.
Like, you shouldn't give somebody drugs who doesn't know they're taking them.
Hey, Roxy, this weekend, can you not do that? Just at the gathering,
never
not do that.
Truthfully,
would be appreciated.
Truthfully, you wouldn't know. So
it's,
I can tell
you.
Before
we go to news, though, we do have one super chat.
Give it to me, baby.
Uh-huh. Matthew Gold for $2.99. Yes. What is this, a commercial?
Matthew.
He says, Roxy's bachelorette stories are awesome.
Oh, I love that. Thank
you. I agree,
you.
Matthew. Cheers to you.
Do you guys think, just quickly before we go, after hearing all this and the experiences of your own, are you going to have a bachelorette party like this where you go to a place and you have all your friends go and it's a multiple day trip?
No.
Michael, you're gonna do a bachelor party?
Well,
like this?
If I'm 40 and a lot of my friends have money at that point, you know, by the time that I actually lose my virginity and get engaged,
according
to the 56% of you on Twitter from last week, thank you.
I think it actually went higher than that.
Well, that's awesome. I think it depends on age and where other people in life are that I would invite, because I think that's where you stand up a little bit too, Roxy. Like, you look at it and you say, I would never make my friends pay this much money if they didn't have it.
Yeah. Takira, did you have one?
I did. It wasn't an expensive one. We went to Vegas, but we did a mix because we were younger. Everyone had to pay for their trip, so I wanted to be cautious of that. But I had a hell of a good time. Yeah, we visited, did touristy things, and then we did the obvious get drunk, can't remember. I think I got so drunk that I was speaking only Spanish, and I would only talk to my best friend because she was the only one who knew Spanish on the trip.
I would die.
That's ridiculous. But what I will say is, if you, and not to be sexist, but if you are a woman in Vegas, you can do it inexpensively.
Yeah, you can.
Exactly.
You can just
go to the clubs. And if you are a man in Vegas, you cannot.
No,
you just can't get in.
I just don't want to. This is the bougiest thing ever. But I don't want to go to clubs unless I have a table.
Me too, because I just don't want to get bumped and hit and be in my heels and tripped
sit.
And fight.
Yeah.
I want to hang. For sure. All right,
we got
Michael.
One more super chat.
Okay, baby. Oh, that's what that noise was. What is it?
Garth McMurray.
Garth McMurray. I love
McMurray.
Garth.
$2. RJ, tell the Frankenscience and myrrh jokes to Michael.
Okay, so I will do this briefly. First of all, just so you guys know, I'm campaigning to have my nickname be RJ. Chunk wasn't sticking, neither was Skittles. My name's Roxanne Jillian Stryer, so RJ. So far, it seems to be catching on. Franken whatever and myrrh, I had no idea what this was. I guess Franken something is a Christian.
Frankincense.
Yeah, because like three wise men came to Jesus and they brought stuff. That's the story. Garth McMurray. You know I'm too Jewish for this shit. All right, Michael, hit us with some news.
All right, we'll start cranking the amazing news music, get into it, and we're going to get into it with, you know, I don't want to say it's the craziest story of the night. I'm really excited. I'm really excited about this because it's Justin Bieber in a fight with Tom Cruise, although allegedly it's not happening right now. But Bieber says it was not actually a true call out when he took to Twitter and challenged Tom Cruise, saying that he would take him down in a fight. He wanted to meet him in the octagon. Today, saying that he was just, goofing around on Twitter. He had just seen an interview that Cruz has done. He was on his mind. He decided to tweet out the challenge. It did lead to so many other people. I think I saw a hashtag of, challenge someone 31 years older than you to a fight. That was trending on Twitter.
That's an epic trend.
With this one not happening, who would you guys challenge as a celebrity to a fight?
Oh my God. No one, because are you a moron? What? I mean, especially like Tom Cruise. He's such a badass. For all the other things about him, you can't say he's not a badass. And Justin Bieber's such a little shit sometimes. What were you telling me, Steph? Who said...
Jimmy Kimmel on last night's episode, or two nights episode, when this first aired, the news hit, he said... He was running through all these stories of how Justin Bieber came to this tweet and decided it was okay to do. And then he's like, Justin Bieber was just drunk. And that's it.
Probably something like that. Because I've tweeted stupid things like this. You know, at least this isn't him being Roseanne Barr on Ambien, being like, uh-oh, I said something. Like, this is not, he didn't say anything racist, sexist, homophobic.
No.
It's stupid.
It's Tom Cruise, who's kind of easy to go after.
Yeah, and so it's stupid. But this is a question I have for you, for all of you guys, actually. But on one of the radio shows that I do on Collider Live, we were talking about... who would get more cheers if this was a real fight? And everybody in that room, who are all like 35, 40, all said Justin Bieber would be booed so loud and everybody would cheer for Tom Cruise. I feel like it would actually be kind of even because the Beliebers are for real.
For real.
Steph, what do you think?
I think it would be a very polarizing battle of the ages.
Like, you wouldn't even be able to hear yay or boo?
No, yeah, because they're both heavily trolled in their own respects, and they're both loved in a lot of ways, but the young... If the Biebers get into it, like, any of the stan culture, they're sick. They'll do whatever.
Yeah, that's... I mean, we saw that with the Beehive this past week. They went after... Oh, my God.
Oh my
Spoiler
gosh.
Alert, this would never actually come to a fight because a Scientologist would do something to Bieber before he got into the ring.
Do you think so?
I mean, I'm just predicting that might be how it goes
oh
down. So here's the other question that I had from this is... Who would be a good matchup for Bieber or for Tom Cruise? I think everyone agrees Tom Cruise would probably take Bieber in the ring.
A lot
is
of people
there
were
a matchup?
Talking about Tom Cruise versus Keanu Reeves, which
oh
I would love
God.
To see.
Keanu Reeves would have killed.
And by a lot of people, I think I meant I dreamt it.
Justin Bieber versus...
Like, what about...
Lil Pump?
What about Nick from... what was the group? Backstreet Boys?
Nick Lachey?
No,
are you
no.
talking about 98 Degrees?
From Backstreet
no,
Boys.
Oh. Nick, a little younger. I don't know. He's been kind of in the media lately, but meh.
Huh. Even Selena Gomez could take Justin Bieber.
Yeah, I think 100%. So, too. I think he's just so skinny.
I do want to say, Roxy, you'd like this, that Brandy in the chat said,
love you, Brandy.
I'd whoop Farrah. She's not a real
celeb,
though.
Wow.
Our first
guest. That's a good call out.
I think that's for you, Roxy.
I would have her back on the show.
Oh, yeah. All day.
I don't think she'd come back, but I'd have her back.
I actually thought of an equal matchup for Justin Bieber.
Who is it?
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, that's true, but I hope Pete Davidson kicks
Me
Justin
too.
Bieber's butt.
Me too.
That would be funny. Although I am a little bit of a Belieber because Justin's old stuff is fire. Can't deny
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's really talented.
Really talented. And he's so sweet to his mom.
Yeah.
Which I have a soft spot for. But he's also pissing in buckets and tipping it over at restaurants. So I'm not down with that. Don't
You're right. Because Pete Davidson is totally well behaved and all.
I didn't say that.
He's a comedian.
You can get
live.
Away with more. Yeah, let him
He
live.
Has to tell the stories for us, all right?
Yeah, the very,
very
true.
True. Very true.
Very true.
All right. Well, since this fight isn't happening, we won't have to deal with the promotion of it. But there is promotion going on for one actress in L.A. who was trying to get the attention of Tyler Perry. And she did it. She spent $2,000 on a billboard that said, I am your next, Mr. Perry, I am your next star.
Attention, Mr. Perry.
Yes.
Raquel Bailey is your next leading lady.
Yes. And so it got Mr. Perry's attention, got Tyler's attention, TP, you know, different people you're going to call him. And he responded, quote, please don't do this. Save your money. This is the third time that someone has done this. He continued saying, I know the message that you want to send is a positive one, but this comes across as opposite. And I thought it was interesting. He said that he had already seen the actress. So the question is...
And by the way, you were great in The Night Of. It was my favorite show a couple of years ago. I already saw you, so just audition and keep your money. That's what he said. This is on Facebook.
So is this crazy or is it genius? Did it work? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting, too. She told Entertainment Weekly afterwards, it didn't make me feel rainbows and butterflies when I decided to do this. I don't know what the response would be. Last time, I didn't get any response from him, and I wasn't expecting really much out of him this time as well, but I had to take a chance. I respect the hell out of this move. I won't lie. I think that something my dad always told me growing up is when everybody else is climbing a ladder, find a rope. And I think this is finding a rope because everybody else is on this same ladder and she was trying to find a rope. And the reason I respect it a little bit is because she's obviously a working actress. So it's not like she's not working, not auditioning and just doing this, you know, moved to LA, bought this billboard and was like, I'm going to cut the line. I'm not going to do the other stuff. She clearly is doing the other stuff already. So that's why I have more respect for this. I don't think it's legitimate to just show up here and do something like that. But if you're doing all the things and you're here for years and you're not getting in front of the person, you're not getting in the room of the person you want to be in the room of, I kind of think that this is legit. But obviously, TP, as you say, doesn't agree. Steph, what do you think?
I agree with that. I love just doing whatever it takes. I'm all about that. But I do feel like it's awkward for him because if he let her audition, it's like you let kind of money, so to speak, win, like getting in your face. Some people can't even afford that.
Yeah, agree.
And then on the other side, if he doesn't pick her, like give her a chance, like he's seems like kind of a dick. Like it just puts them in a weird position. But I can't knock the hustle.
I agree with that. But just when he says, so just audition and keep your money, it's like she is auditioning. Yeah. She's also doing that, which is why it doesn't bother me as much. Booth, thoughts?
I actually was shocked that it only cost $2,000. I actually think
Michael took
it. I actually think for, because I look at the investment and I think for $2,000, look at the publicity that you got, even if it wasn't with Tyler Perry, it was with other people who definitely probably went to your Instagram, went to your Twitter, went to your IMDb, looked up what other projects you'd been in, saw actually maybe how good of an actress or not how good of an actress you were. You got the eyes and ears, which, as Kevin says, is half the battle.
Half the battle. And so even if Tyler Perry didn't see it, everybody else did. So,
which I wonder in all these things how much that played a role. And you didn't just put up the billboard. Did you put up the billboard, take a picture, and send it to the local stations? Did you try to grow the publicity on your own? Probably. But again, I can't hate the hustle.
Michael, I think, though, you're realizing this was in Atlanta, right? Which is why the cost was. I mean, it's not like she got out a massive billboard on Sunset Boulevard, because that would
No. But still, I just thought billboards, even Atlanta's a major metropolitan area.
Atlanta is the up and coming. It's like the southern, like they're claiming it to be like the southern Hollywood.
I don't know about much longer with Disney pulling out and other people pulling out of doing business there.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I would, it was for sure, but I have a hard time thinking that they'll be able to keep those people if
they don't change.
Because regardless of your own personal beliefs, Hollywood is extremely liberal, which I think most of Hollywood is extremely liberal. And so, like Iger said, it didn't even have anything to do with what Bob Iger felt. He said, my workers won't go there, so Disney, unfortunately, probably won't be able to do production in Atlanta anymore, whether he believes that or not.
Damn.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
It's on the After 83 Weeks podcast on AfterBuzz, Eric Bischoff spoke on something like very similar to this and said, it's amazing what Disney will pull out of Georgia and pull out of Alabama, and yet they still do things in Saudi Arabia, and they still make all their toys in China. And we have to talk about how they treat people in China.
And that's exactly why Bob Iger phrased it the way he did. He was not taking a stance against what's going on there. He was saying, when he was asked about it, he said, I don't think we'll be able to go there because my workers will not work there. Not, I will not go there based off of this. Although, based off Bob Iger's history, I think he's now an independent, but he was a member of the Democratic Party for a really long time. I would have to believe, based off those two things, that he is pro-choice and anti what's happening there. But I think as a businessman, he knows it's not smart to say that because Disney is Disney. Disney reaches people all over and
got to be in the middle.
Yeah. So I think he was trying to play that smart and letting everybody know, hey, this isn't my choice. My people won't go there, so I can't film there.
Well, something else inappropriate as we're on the topic is the actions of Max Landis. And he was accused this week by Whitney Moore. Actress Whitney Moore spoke out regarding the, quote, horrific and inhumane abuse that she suffered while in a relationship with Landis. On Tuesday, yesterday, she posted something saying, quote, never thought I would say anything publicly about the things Max Landis did to me because I believe that forgiveness was the correct way to heal. However, she says that he has not gotten any better. And Landis has previously been spoken out against. A woman came forward in 2012. Other people have spoken out. And Roxy, you teased at the start of the show that you had inside information on this?
A couple of different things. Number one, I've met Max Landis many, many times. We worked in a similar space. For anybody who doesn't know, he's a writer, director, and this has been something that's been circulating about him forever, kind of similar to Bryan Singer, where it seems to be one of Hollywood's best-kept secrets, where he continues to work, but people know what he's been doing. Second thing is that I am friendly with Whitney Moore. We've worked together. She was over at SourceFed when I was there, and I actually just bumped into her the other day at another meeting, and she is the best, like the actual nicest, most amazing person in a very loving relationship right now. And it, has a heart. She's just always been nothing but kind to me and anybody around, and she's really sweet. We're not close by any means, but we're friendly colleagues. And I had no idea about her specific situation, but I was reading what she posted on Twitter, because she said she posted a thing. You know how you can take a screenshot of something longer? She had written something in notes and then mm-hmm. taken a screenshot. And the thing that stood out to me is she was saying she's so embarrassed by the things that he did to her.
Wow.
She's so humiliated that she can't even share them publicly. And she will, because she says it's important for people to know, but she has to do it anonymously.
Yikes.
And when somebody says something like that, it's probably because she's so confident with the amount of other stories that are coming out that she knows that if she shares this anonymously, people won't know it's her, because other stories are going to be coming out too. And since her speech, other things have come out. And I think that it's disgusting when Hollywood keeps secrets like this, because who are you really protecting? And why?
Mm-hmm.
When there's so many perverts, but way more talented people that you can just get rid of them. Like, you're just lazy and you want to defend a culture that you either don't care about, or you just want to ignore it, or you know that it's there and you are for it, and you yourself are like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think from the interactions I had with him, because I had a couple people ask me about this today, because I believe actually the first time I met him, I think, was at AfterBuzz. And then I've met him several times since. And I've never been alone in a closed room with him. He probably wouldn't recognize me if he saw me, even though we've met over a dozen times. He struck me as slightly sexist and weird. That, like, he, you know, when a guy's not making eye contact with you or doing things like that. But a lot of people are like that, and they're not women abusers. So, you know, you take that for what it is. But he was weird. He was off. He was uncomfortable to be in a room with. But that was all I experienced from personal, from being with him. He's also extremely, extremely knowledgeable in the comic book world, and comes from, I believe, a family background of being in this industry. Michael, if you could check that.
Yes, his dad was a very well-known person in Hollywood, John Landis, a famous film director.
So I wonder if that's part of the reason why he was able to continue to work. But it's not like I was a big fan of a lot of his stuff. I mean, he wrote Bright, which was people seemed to destroy on Netflix, although I never saw it. Did any of you guys see that movie?
I did see it.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I didn't really understand. Well, I could have understood a little bit about why people were throwing it under the bus, but it was because it was clearly, like, race-driven. It was, like, a this side of the train tracks versus that side of the train tracks. But,
for me, it was just it had potholes.
Yeah. He also wrote Chronicle, which is a loved movie by many comic book fans. So he's been working for a long time despite all of these things going around, but I do think this will put the final nail in his coffin, because this is the first time it seems to have come out in this Me Too movement, and people are finally listening, it seems.
Good.
Like, he does have a couple projects coming out, including one with Chloe Grace Moretz, who said in April, quote, that his name is far away from the project. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. And obviously, you know, as we saw with so many stars before, a project can be already made in production, however far along, as long as it hasn't been released, they will still shelve it. Well, something that thankfully is not being shelved is compensation for victims of 9/11 and first responders. This after Jon Stewart passionately, very, very passionately, thankfully, approached the Congressional House Judiciary Committee and really said, you know, what are you guys doing? These are people who rushed in. One of the lines that he used was like, these people acted in minutes and you guys are stalling. This is funds that will be able to help the first responders. Prior to this, there were claims every 5 years that needed to continually get refilled. The new bill doesn't have a cap on the funds allocated and keeps the current fund going until 2090. Which hopefully will outlast all of the victims. We want them to live as long as possible. But, you know, 2090, that's 70 years away. What were you guys' emotions watching John's speech this week?
I don't understand how you could watch that and be on the other side. Like, I feel this way sometimes about political things, but I don't find this to be political in any way. I don't understand as a human being, and more so in this case as an American, you can watch this and you can feel anything other than these people are getting fucking screwed. And it's disgusting. And we sat there and we said, never forget. And then we forgot. And it's sad that it takes somebody like Jon Stewart making this kind of speech, because I'm usually not a massive fan of the celebrity swoop in. But he's been talking about this for so many years, yeah, that, and he is so well spoken. But it's sad that it takes the attention from somebody like him to actually get this across the line. And if he did not speak yesterday, I do not think that this would have gone the way that we are all hoping that it did, because He legit wiped the floor with them,
yep,
and shamed them and into a corner that they couldn't do anything else. But why do we have to bring it to that point to do the right thing? I don't get it.
Me too. And it there's a few things with it. First off, proves we all have to pay attention, because if it didn't make the headlines, I wouldn't have known we were fucking over all these people that put their lives on the line for us.
No idea.
And second, when he was talking about, he's like, you guys all tweeted, never forget, we're with you guys always, supporting you guys always, but then when it actually matters about their humanity, we don't care. It makes no sense. But then I know you're also a Patriot fan of Hasan Minhaj's show, and he just was talking about Jon Stewart, and he's like, comedians can't be at the charge of political movements. We never actually make change. We just speak. And then this happened. And I was like, sometimes it's needed.
Well, because he was talking about the presidential election in how India.
With Bush.
With Bush, and how it didn't ultimately end up mattering with what Jon Stewart had said. But in these cases, it does. And celebrities do have the power to do things like this. And it does seem to matter when a celebrity endorses a candidate. It does seem to have effect. And if you have a platform, you should use it how you would like to. Whichever way that is, whether I agree with you or not, you should use your platform. That's what it's there for. And if somebody doesn't like that, they shouldn't follow you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is exactly what Jon Stewart should be doing. Every time he teared up, I teared up. I thought that there were two really poignant things also. Number one, that they did not shout death to Tribeca. They shouted to America. The fact that people are thinking this is a New York issue, not an American issue, is disgusting. Like 9/11 happened to specifically New Yorkers. This was an attack on our country.
Mm-hmm.
So that just frustrated me so much. Then also the part that you were talking about, Steph, which is, I mean, you all tweeted. You all did this. Everybody said that we will take care of you guys, and we didn't. But the real one that I couldn't believe was he was saying they don't have to, people shouldn't have to, these first responders shouldn't have to decide between a place to live or whether to live. Because right now they can't afford both.
Yeah.
The first responders from 9/11 should be in mansions on a hill in whatever goddamn city they want to be in. Like, and I know that maybe that's not feasible, but that's what, in my mind, what should be happening.
They're heroes.
Yeah. And like, if you want to raise my tax dollars and you're specifically telling me that each, like, you want to raise it by a dollar next year, every single person in America, and you say it goes to these families, I'll give you two.
100%.
Like, tell me where our money is going. But it's crazy. We can't allocate funds to them. Fuck off. Because where are you putting your money then? Because take it from somewhere else. I mean, this is crazy. And then saying, we don't know in 5 years who else is going to need the money. When he said, we know that here's what's going to happen. They're going to get sick and die. Are you dumb? Are you dumb? Oh, this just killed me.
And for them to not even show up, half of them.
Yeah.
What are you
doing? The empty seats.
And we're paying our tax dollars for you to show up. That's your job. You work for us. All these people in the White House, all these people in Congress, they work for us. And I think that oftentimes they forget that. But it's like, you're not even there for the people who save you.
You come from a politically involved family, yeah. Steph. What did your parents say about this?
They just think it's disgusting. There are issues like this that are not political. And they're like, in both of their positions, they have to not, you can't bring your politics to your party in any sort of judge, lawyer. You can't do that. So there's certain issues that come to the table like this, and they're like, I don't even understand how it's a question.
Yeah. And very, very rarely do four of us in a room agree on something.
Yeah.
And I think, Kara, you've been quiet, but I think we're all on the same page.
100%. I'm just loving you guys' interaction. I'm like, ditto, retweet.
Retweet, hashtag retweet, bitches.
Well, this is something that brought us together. Another thing that brought the country together was the space race. And now all of us technically have the opportunity to be able to go to space. The only thing standing in our way, about $52 million. That is the amount that it will cost when private transportation to the International Space Station starts as soon as next year. NASA teased that a couple days ago and said that it would actually be possible. People can go for 30 to 60 days and be able to spend that long time on the International Space Station, be able to have that life support, food, oxygen, medical supplies, power. That's all what this is going towards. I was talking with my roommate a couple hours ago and saying, you know, it might seem steep, but it costs a lot for each of those boosters and all that gas and all the technology. A, I'm assuming that all of us would do this, but how much money would you need to have to be able to spend $52 million for 30 to 60 days
so
in space?
So I believe that it was Jay-Z who, by the way, this week became the most wealthy musician of all time, hitting hitting $1 billion, which is amazing. I thought they said musician. It's hip-hop artist?
Hip-hop artist.
I thought it was just musician in general, but that makes more sense. $1 billion, crazy. But he said, if you don't have enough money to buy something twice, you don't have enough money to buy it.
Ooh.
So we would have to make this trip twice.
No, you don't have to make it twice, but you have to be able to buy it twice in order to justify buying it once.
That makes sense, though.
So
I like that advice.
By his analysis of that, you'd have to have at least 100 mil, but probably more. And I don't know. I'd have to have so much money in the bank, but I feel like what's interesting about this is anybody who's capable of spending $52 million on this is a name that we probably are familiar with. So are we going to just start sending a lot of celebrities to space?
This is cool. Like, I'm personally a space lover.
Me too.
I love the stars. I study the stars when I have any free time. I am saving up for a telescope. But this, even if I was a billionaire, I wouldn't do it. Like, I don't know. I just can't. I can't make that decision to spend that when there's so many other things I could be spending on.
I'll be honest. I think I would. If I was a billionaire, yeah, I think I would, because space, man.
I'd have to negotiate. 30 million, maybe.
Yeah, 52 is a lot.
A lot.
You could solve a ton of world hunger with that, but I don't know. Going to space, I've always been super interested.
Well, they might be waving that American flag in space, but other flags are being waved across the country, that of Pride, because June is Pride Month. And I know if you follow Maria on Instagram, you're able to see Maria and our very own Steph Sabra celebrating in downtown LA with Meghan Trainor. First, Steph, how was that?
Oh my gosh, she is so nice.
Meghan Trainor?
Yeah.
Oh,
such a good person. She surprised with Dimitri, the like angel who does Maria's hair and makeup and
slash her best friend, her
Greek
brother.
Yeah, surprised Maria with a cake. That was the best cake
for
I've
her
ever
birthday.
Had. Yeah, for it was Maria's birthday weekend. Happy birthday, Queen! Again, and so they were so nice. Her whole family, Meghan Trainor's whole family, was there. She has them integrated in every part of like her business, whether it be taking photos of backstage, performing parts of the song with her.
So cool!
All her dad and mom were in matching outfits. It was just like they were just really nice people.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I know,
your outfits were so cute.
Oh yeah, they were gold sheep clothing, and I'm not just
so
saying.
Comfy.
That's a plug. They are the most comfortable.
Yeah. Maria's hooked it up with some gold sheep for me, and I feel like the luckiest queen alive.
I was like, seriously? You're doing this
yeah,
for me?
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
So now we're planning the next Pride event, right?
Yeah, more importantly.
For all of us to go to the world renowned at this point. It is literally known around the world, the Straight Pride event.
Yay.
In Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Roxy, I'm sure you're super proud. And, you know, unfortunately, contrary to what was listed on the website, Brad Pitt not involved. He was originally...
His picture was plastered all over this Straight Pride site. Like, Brad Pitt in 15 different positions was on this site.
Epic.
He was originally put almost as like the mascot on the website of this straight pride parade. Needless to say, he had his people quickly reach out and say, no go, that this is total BS, that they had him taken down. Now, this, I look at this like so many things from a business. I think that this event, terrible event, but it benefited actual pride. Because now people are rallying against it to actual pride.
No, I think pride was fine without this. I'm really important question, though. Steph, what does our straight pride look like? The flag. What is our straight pride flag? How do we design this? Because we got to market this.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, they did you see the flag that they have?
No, ours.
Okay, ours would be...
Yeah. Because it can't be rainbow or purple.
No,
so
I was going to say no rainbow.
No, no rainbow. Yeah. Because we don't like that.
No.
It's just a white flag.
It would just be like a vanilla bean.
Yeah.
Flag.
Maybe it's a cup of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah. Ooh. Next to mayonnaise.
Next to mayo. Next to white bread.
With a little white whipped cream.
And then we take the bread and we put a hot dog having sex with the piece of bread.
Yes.
With ice cream on top.
And just straight. A salt shaker because we don't use pepper.
With the edges cut off of the bread. You can't have edges on the bread.
I am so embarrassed to be straight when things like this happen.
God.
Like, what the actual fuck?
Like,
are you dumb? And also, more than I'm so embarrassed for Boston when things like this happen. It's like, Massachusetts is one of the most liberal states there is. We are as blue as it gets. I grew up in a city with the... I didn't know a Republican where I grew up, yet we are the ones who are pitching straight pride. Do you not? You really don't get it?
Yeah, how is this not coming out of Nebraska or Kansas?
That's the thing. It's like, but every year Boston tries this. Every year. What don't you guys understand about every mother effing day of your lives is straight pride?
Yes. Rox, you gave me the best example. What was it?
Oh, when I was growing up, this is what I would say to my parents on Mother's Day or Father's Day. I would be like, but why isn't there a Kids' Day? Why does there get to be Mother's Day and Father's Day? And they're like, motherfucker, every day is Kids' Day.
Like,
we do everything for you.
Cheers to that. And also, this is just a good learning moment for everyone who does the All Lives Matter bullshit. Of course all lives matter. That's not the point of saying Black Lives Matter. We're talking about one specific thing, pride. Let us celebrate the LGBTQ
community.
For once.
We don't need a pride because we're not persecuted as straight people. So you don't need to be like, I have to make a statement. Did you have to come out as straight?
Because
if you didn't have to do that. Yeah, I know. I know. Boston.
It's just, you're just mean.
If I am Brad Pitt and I see my face all over this, I'm flipping out. Do not. I mean,
Rox,
you
gotta be careful because in the next few years, like when you blow up, Boston might try to like really take you.
But he's not even a Boston guy.
I know, but you don't know.
You would think they would use Wahlberg or Matt Damon or Affleck. I'm not saying any of those people would be happy with it, but why? Where do you, just Brad Pitt looks just so straight?
Yeah, just, like let's get the hottest, most loved person.
I bet it was the creator at one point was told that he looks like Brad Pitt and said, "Yeah, oh yeah, I'm just gonna roll with it."
So anyway, move us forward, Michael.
Well, you know, all people of Boston might not be coming together for this. Unfortunately, they are coming together for a tragedy that happened this week with Big Poppy. The beloved David Ortiz was shot in a Dominican Republic bar, and now details are coming out. But the suspects who have arrested said that they were offered nearly $8,000 for the hit job. Two men were seen on a security footage talking with other people in some sedans before this all kind of went down. Now, thankfully, David Ortiz is okay. He was able to have surgery. His gallbladder, part of his intestine, were removed during surgeons hours after the shooting. He is now back in Boston.
The Red Sox flew him there.
The Red Sox sent their plane down to the Dominican Republic. I mean, Roxy, what are you hearing, Sox Nation?
What I was really bummed about was the night that he was shot was the night that Bruins won Game 6. And the there was no coverage about David Ortiz. And David Ortiz is second to, like, Tom Brady for Boston. Because if you guys remember after the Boston bombings, he was the one who came out and said, "This is our fucking city." And his face was plastered everywhere as like the symbol of hope for Boston. He's so loved, he's so cherished, and no radio stations, nobody was covering this. They were all talking about Game 6. Now everybody is talking about this, as they should be. I wish him well. It's scary things like this can happen, but luckily he's okay, because if he had been shot in the head, then he would be dead right now, and that's what we really should be talking about. I'm happy for the Bruins, but this is, to me, a bigger story.
100%.
It is amazing, too, that Big Papi is like huge in the Red Sox lore, but he is just such a likable guy.
He's so
by
loved.
Everyone.
That's what Derek Jeter said. Derek Jeter was like, "Okay, I'm a Yankee, and he's a Red Sox, so fine, I don't." But at the same time, it's Big Papi. Everybody
loves him. He has his own SNL's reoccurring sketches by the legend Kenan Thompson. You've made it. You're loved.
You've loved. All right, Michael, move us forward.
Well, the final story also deals with an athlete injury. This one hopefully going to have a much better ending to it. And it's an ending that not a lot of people know what's going to happen. Maybe only one or two people, those being Kevin Durant and his agent, because Kevin Durant this past week ruptured his Achilles. Actually had the surgery today to fix it. He was out with a calf injury for an entire month in the Western Conference Finals. Golden State was down 3-1, and he came back for Game 5 to try to help his team. And 12 minutes into the game, he ruptured his Achilles, which is the worst injury that someone in sports can face. And now, who knows what's going to happen with him? Obviously, looking past this year, he will probably be out an entire year.
But the
biggest thing is that he was the prize free agent.
Nobody's going to give him the max.
By many to be the number one player in basketball right now, is heading towards an incredible contract in sports. Now, nobody knows what will happen next year and if he'll ever be back to the same form. Roxy, I mean, Boston, one of the big teams, if he was maybe possibly looking at going there, looking to go to the Knicks or the Lakers.
But Michael, I'll be honest, I don't care about that at all. When you look at these athletes, you can't think about your own like fandom. You have to think this is their life and this is their livelihood and this is what they've worked so many hours for. Kevin Durant is in his prime right now. He's 30 years old. He is at top three NBA players, if not the best player in the entire league right now. And he is somebody, all these athletes are, they're always going to push to get back in the game. They always want to play. And it's the team's job, it's the doctor's job to say, "You need to sit this one out because you're not capable of doing this right now." They shouldn't have played him, obviously.
Wait, you wouldn't have played?
No. If I was him, I would have wanted to, but I would have benched him. Hindsight's 20/20, but this is ruining. We don't even know how he's going to be after he's capable of coming back. I get it, and it's not like it was just a random mid-season game, you know. But no, I think that they shouldn't have. He was at risk, and they were calling it a calf injury.
So this was a different injury.
Yeah.
So prior, he had not had an Achilles injury. It was a calf injury, but as with a lot of injuries, when you're not on it, you can have other muscles that are connected or affected.
Too risky. Too risky. I wouldn't have.
Steph, go for it.
I understand where Michael's coming from, that you would have played, but the more I think about it, the fact that the Warriors have already a disgustingly all-star squad and they've won so many consecutive years, I just don't think it's worth the risk. And I think DeMarcus Cousins, after the Toronto fans were like
cheering
after this horrendous injury, it does shine a light on like sports and these athletes. We treat them like gladiators. We don't treat them like human beings. We treat them like athletes, like just like entertainment and we don't care. And it stems from high school sports, like the coaches with competitive athletes like baseball and football, to the NBA and the NFL. They just don't care.
You guys remember in high school sports, I don't know if this was the same for you, but for us, if somebody got injured, everybody shut the F up. You were silent until they were able to walk off the field and everybody clapped like, okay, they can stand. And if they couldn't, it was a like somebody had died, because when you're an athlete, this is your whole life. You're dedicating everything to it. And the fact that they were cheering is a different story all in itself, but that made me feel physically ill.
Yeah.
So here's the picture. You are a star
athlete. No, I told
athlete.
You. I think he should have wanted to play, but they shouldn't have let him.
Then how do you control it at the highest level, where you look at
you
it
advise.
And it's like you're possibly rated as one of the top 10 players of all time, and you've been out a month and people are dogging you and hating on you and doubting your actual talent because the Warriors are winning without you. Your team is down 3-1. You are finally now getting back to health, and you have the opportunity to lead them on what would be one of the top two or three NBA Finals comebacks of all time to solidify your greatness.
I get the picture.
I don't know how you you play for.
You need better advisors.
I'm actually surprised by Steve Kerr.
How come?
Really?
I know Steve Kerr. I went to high school with his son. They're
really?
The best family. The best family. And I'm sure it wasn't, I don't know, he has the final call, but I'm sure the trainers told him he's fine, he's good to go. It's the medical team. But I'm just surprised no one did say, you know what, we have Steph Curry, we have Draymond, we have everyone.
They were already down 3-1. You needed a difference maker. Something wasn't working.
You needed him to not get injured for a whole year. He's out for an entire year.
It's not like it would have been their first championship. You're going for a three-peat. You know how many teams in NBA history have ever had a three-peat?
That's
so selfish.
You even think looking
back. That's not selfish.
Even if you knew he was going to get injured, Michael, you still would have played him?
I don't think that this has anything to do with anything other than Kevin Durant wanting to play. I think if you have a superstar who says, it's like Michael Jordan in the flu game. You think the doctors are going to say, Michael Jordan, you can't play.
A flu is a sickness. It's not you're not injured.
It's why we remember Michael Jordan.
You're not going to miss a whole season because you had the flu.
It's why we remember Michael Jordan as Michael Jordan because of the flu game, because of the other times where he excelled when the stakes were against him. That's the
speaking
that's
of
what we
sports
got.
Right now. I know. Speaking of sports right Ooh. Now.
Is there game 7 tonight? Is it tonight? Uh-oh. Roxy, are you happy? You're smiling? No? Uh-oh. The St. Louis, for anyone catching up, NHL Finals, game 7, Boston Bruins, St. Louis Blues, Roxy.
The score is currently 4-0.
Ooh. In what period?
Third.
Well, that does not
with 4 minutes left.
Good.
Well, can we give a positive sports shout out?
What do you got?
Our U.S. women's national team.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Soccer girls. What? Freaking queens. Like,
yeah.
They are the best of the best athletes on earth.
Yeah.
13-0 is what the final score of that game. They set a record for the most goals scored.
And
13.
Anyone who talks shit about how they cheered for themselves, fuck off.
I would too.
You want to talk about gloating? Every male soccer player across the entire world rips off their shirts. They go on massive runs around the field, and now the girls are celebrating because they're breaking records. This is their first time during
the
World Cup games.
Calm yourself, be tame. Chill out.
No, we need more Brandi Chastains.
Quick question before you go. What do you guys prefer to the women in the room? Chill or relax? What's better when a guy tells you?
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, when a man mansplains to me?
You gotta pick one. Would you rather him tell you to chill or relax?
Chill. I guess. Fucking nothing.
You know what you probably
Honestly,
like hearing
relax.
The most?
It's so bad.
You know what
so
you probably like hearing the most?
What?
Full send.
And on that note, we are out of here tonight. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening to The Tomorrow Show. We are live every single Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Not Sam Network. We're also on iTunes. And if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, go to our Instagram, go to our Twitter, at The Tomorrow Show. Did we run any polls tonight, guys? Any polls?
We did not run any polls.
Usually we run polls about like Michael's virginity and stuff, but you're going to want to keep it on
But after
that.
What people said last week, 40, Although
it hurt,
I am learning.
Feelings.
I am leaning toward 33. It's, you know, first week. Yeah,
sorry,
it's going to be a while.
It's a tough one. Well, we'll be at your party this weekend, so we're definitely going to have stories next week on the Tomorrow Show. Until then, it's at the only MC, at Takira underscore Shabray, at Steph Sabra, the very first time out here.
Woo-woo!
Little behind the scenes information for everybody. She was such a great co-host that she actually broke our TriCaster. She smashed it.
I am the She-Hulk.
Yeah, baby. At Roxy Stryer, and don't forget to find Kevin and what he's doing possibly on his super secret mission at Undergaro. And until next week, Steph?
Make it a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Be sure to subscribe to our Not Sam YouTube channel and hit us up on social media at The Tomorrow Show. I'm Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, and this has been a presentation of the Not Sam Network.